Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not as devastatingly, stiflingly warm.
No.
No, it's a little bit miserable this
week. I put my dressing gown on last night.
Whoa.
Got back sort of late into the evening. Amy was in bed, and it was actually a little bit chilly. I wanted to sit downstairs for a bit. And I was like, well, obviously, I'm not going to put the heating on. That would be ridiculous.
Stupid.
So I had to just put a layer on, a fluffy layer.
Wow.
Mm.
That's crazy.
And I was fine. It was just what it was exactly right at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You managed to reach nirvana.
Yes.
Temperature nirvana.
I did.
Ashton, how have you been coping? Because you've been going to the beach, let's get away, basically every weekend.
Mm. Well, I've not, obviously, we went to the beach on Saturday.
We did.
We had a lovely time. It was very warm. Peter wetted his shorts.
Yeah,
I heard about this.
I just went straight into the sea.
Did you realise after the fact that you were wet?
You just followed Amy in.
Oh, no, I went up to like... How far? I went up to my waistband. Yeah, I realised
regular
that was
shorts.
Wet.
In regular shorts, yeah.
Wait,
he went like halfway.
The way Ashton
in.
Described it made it sound as though you'd gone into the sea
and not noticed.
Oh well, my shorts are wet now, so I might as well just go all the way in.
Well, that was kind of what he said.
I said I might as well go all the way in because my shorts are wet now. But I knew in the first place that they were
right.
Wet.
They were going to get wet.
I
know, you've been
there.
In the sea before. You know how wet it is.
I turned up there ill-equipped. I don't know why I didn't bring any trunks with me. My swimming shorts, not my people shorts.
Mm.
I guess I just thought, I'll go up to my ankles and then come out.
Yeah.
And then we all wandered down to the sea, and Amy had done the same thing. She'd not brought like a bikini or anything. And I was walking behind her, and she just carried on walking and followed Ashton and Kieran into the
sea. Who were wearing swim-appropriate outfits.
And I was like, oh, is this what we're doing? We're just in our clothes? And I was like, okay. So I just walked in with my
t-shirt
and shorts.
Did you guys drive over?
Yeah,
we did, but I mean, this was when we first got there, and it was that warm that I dried off by. I mean, it took probably about an hour, but it was, it was all right.
Mm. Sounds lovely. Did you get an ice cream?
No,
got fish and chips.
We got fish and chips. Yeah. Well, just chips.
I'm so
actually.
Hungry.
Just
right chips. Now. I need to stop talking. I'm going to get fish and chips this weekend. I'm quite excited about it.
Oh, nice.
But the point is that it has been inescapably warm recently, and this week it's been
wet.
It's been wet, which is not great. But today it's sort
just
of like
Peter's shorts.
Wet. Yeah, but today it's sunny, but not like. We're not dying, and that's quite nice, actually. So I'm in my element.
It's
average
been pretty
temperature
thick,
nirvana.
Humid this week because it's been so rainy, and it's been like muggy in the office.
Trick is whether it's really hot and sunny and you're going to burn, or it's really rainy and you're going to get wet. Just wear a hat. Wear an appropriate.
Just wear a hat.
Just wear
Speaking
a hat.
Speaking of hats. Can I present to you something that I bought yesterday that cost me way too much money?
Have you brought this in?
Yeah.
What's
this?
Have you seen
it? No.
Oh, good, because I blocked you on Twitter so you didn't see it.
You blocked me on Twitter? What the hell? Why did you block me on Twitter to hide?
I wanted to have a surprise.
But it's not for me.
No, it's for me.
So you just wanted my genuine reaction.
Yeah.
It is excellent. Mm. Have you tried on the little hat yet?
I have, I wore it last night.
So this is an Indiana Jones
cup.
What of Destiny?
Dial of Destiny cup. Yeah.
When did you get it? Sorry, when
last
did you get it?
Last night from the cinema.
From the cinema. Yeah. What were you seeing last night?
Was Indiana Jones.
Was it any good?
It's all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
But the cup is better than the movie. So the cup has a big hat on it.
I didn't really want to go to this cinema to see this movie. Okay. I wasn't really interested. And then we got there and I was ordering a drink and I was going to get myself a wine. And then I saw this and I was like, oh my God, I need that. So it's a hat.
Despite the price.
It's a cup.
How much was it, Ashton?
It's £10.
£10. To be fair, she said that she bought it without even looking how much it was.
I thought, I was like, I need that.
how expensive
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's got like an obnoxiously big hat on it. That's obviously the Indiana Jones hat, if you're listening. And then Peter asked me, what are you drinking in it? And I said, record the leg.
We all expected it to be Coke or something. And she was just like, record the leg? I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my goodness.
Sure, of course
it's
you
good,
are.
It's good, isn't it?
Wow.
I was a bit disappointed though, because I didn't realise until it was too late that they were also selling a popcorn hat. So you can
a
have your hat,
a
hat
bigger in, one. In a big, like a full-size Stetson.
So similar situation, but...
Yeah, that would have been an extra £10, so maybe I'll go back
and get
it. It's
a bit like a nacho hat, but with popcorn.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. So yeah, this is my new cup, and I thought it's perfect for the podcast.
Yes.
It's a bit awkward to drink out of though, because the rim is quite wide, so you have to kind of like hunch over to drink out of
it. It looks kind of awkward. Mm. Can it be dishwashed?
Probably, yeah. The other cups normally can.
Yeah. The hat can.
I'm a bit... Oh, there is a face on the other side. I was a bit disappointed that it's not like a Harrison Ford face. So it does kind of look like that face is wearing the hat.
Oh, yeah.
But I was a bit like, there's a face there.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's got like... Yeah, okay. The camera.
Sort of. If that's going to show up at all.
A little
can
bit.
You see it? Those are
you
the
see
eyes.
The sunglasses, yeah.
But it would have been good if there was just like a picture of Harrison Ford's head and then it just looked like
or
he
if
was
the whole cup
it.
Was just his head, like in 3D.
God.
That would be good.
That'd be worth. That'd be worth it. Every penny.
Yeah, I can unblock you on Twitter now.
Good. I mean, I'm not even a little bit hurt that you blocked me. And that's okay.
I only blocked you for like 8 hours. And I knew you weren't going to go on Twitter last night.
No, that's
but
true.
I thought you might go on before the podcast this morning. So I was like, I don't want him to see it. I want him to get his live in-person reactions.
So he's going to have to refollow you, is he? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I don't think I will, no, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fair.
As excited as I am to see the hat, which does make just fill me with a lot of joy.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It is excellent.
It's worth every pound that I spent on that.
All 10 of the pounds.
Plus 50p for the recorder leg as well. So it's
50p.
£10.
It was only 50p.
Well, I suppose it's because the hat's £10. So they were like, we won't make you pay £5.
Yeah,
for
that's
drink.
Very generous.
We'll throw in some recorder leg for 50p.
What a treat. Yeah. This isn't a podcast, sorry, about hats or Indiana Jones and the Dial of
Destiny.
This is, in fact, a video game podcast where we take sponsors, each and every week that are video game adjacent. They allow us to keep the lights on in this room.
He's still in the toilet.
Dead Island to the spider who has not been in this room for a very long time now is in the toilet. Somewhere.
Maybe we should catch him and bring him in here. Maybe he'll be happier.
He'd love it in here. Maybe he just wandered out and he can't get back in.
Maybe we should release a few flies in here for him to eat. For his din-dins.
Good idea.
Potentially, I believe, Peter, you have the ad read.
I do.
In front of you there.
It's right here. Hey, did you know that coming out on Switch in July is a very exciting sequel to a much beloved franchise where you control all these little tiny plant people. You go wandering around and you do what they've always done for the past three games. You pick up pellets and avoid big scary ghosts. That's right. Coming soon. Pac-Man 4.
Mm-hmm. I think you might have got confused, Peter.
It says right here, Pac-Man 4.
I think maybe you might have... You might have got the
I'm right. It says it right there. Pac-Man 4 is coming soon.
Does it really?
Yeah.
What does it say, Peter?
What does it say really, Peter?
It doesn't look like it says anything on it.
It says Pikmin.
Pikmin 4.
Oh, Pikmin 4.
Yeah.
Man.
It's okay. It's easy to get confused. Yeah. They've got most of the same letters.
That's really embarrassing, actually.
That is embarrassing.
Because I don't know if you guys know, I work in like video game.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's quite embarrassing.
I think you should, I think you've got to go.
Yeah, I think you should.
Actually, you've got to leave.
Can I just do a public apology and stay?
Yeah, quickly, can you get a ukulele out?
Oh, God.
Whoa, too soon.
There's a deep internet cut there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Don't worry, it's not real.
They've stopped Pac-Man. There's no more Pac-Man.
None of it's real. There's not Pac-Man coming out on Switch where plants chase ghosts or run away from ghosts, I guess, depending on whether you've picked up the pack pellet, the pack puck. What's it called? The big one?
What?
The big thing
what
in
are
Pac-Man.
You trying to say?
I don't know. You know, the big circle that makes it so you can eat ghosts.
Oh, right. I don't know.
That thing.
That's got a name.
It's not happening. Pac-Man exists. Pikmin 4 exists. Yeah. But hey... That's it. That's our sponsor.
Good.
Excellent.
And I'm sorry.
Except that it's not.
Yeah.
And Peter's not sorry.
No.
He will do it again. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this podcast. We have loads of other tiers available as well. And you should consider going there and supporting us if you aren't already. We'd really appreciate it. And you get access to loads of fantastic awards. Rewards. Someone who has supported us at least the $1 tier is the question asker for question one that Peter's going to read out loud.
It's Bartek Kubica who says, "Holy bread rollies, BAP. Bethesda could have spilled milk that Starfield may not have a physical release in any edition of the game." This was in response to a question on Twitter, and the answer was quickly deleted. Later that day, they cleared it up. Recently, to my disappointment, Remedy confirmed that Alan Wake 2 will not be on a physical disc either. Are we reaching a point where such things as game disc included will have to be announced immediately and even celebrated? Have a great day, Bartek.
Thank you, Bartek.
Thanks, Bartek.
Got a little quote here from Eurogamer. Word that Starfield's physical editions would not include a disc first came via a tweet from Bethesda support over the weekend, which, in answer to a customer query, said, quote, "All physical editions include a code for the chosen platform. There are no physical discs," end quote. After several days of confusion and conflicting statements, Bethesda has confirmed to Eurogamer that the details in its freshly resurfaced Starfield pre-order bonus page were recently updated to provide clarification on the inclusion of a disc in certain versions of the game's physical release. As such, its final word on the matter appears to be that Starfield's physical standard edition for Xbox will contain a disc, but that the physical standard edition for PC will not, instead including a digital download code for the game. Meanwhile, and this is the bit that really surprised me, all versions of the physical Constellation edition, that's the fancy special one, will only include a digital download code.
What?
Say that again.
So the most expensive edition with like the
all
clock
the fancy
thing
stuff.
And the controller, that's not going to have a
that's
disc.
That's what it says in Eurogamer's article. It says that there will be a disc for standard edition on Xbox. There won't be a disc for standard edition on PC, but all versions of the physical Constellation edition will only include a digital download code.
Weird.
Okay.
So that's apparently their final word on the matter.
Yeah.
According to Eurogamer.
They won't say anything else.
No.
So just make peace with it, everyone.
Deal with it. Especially if you're, you know, sinking whatever it is, £100, £200 or something on the Constellation Edition.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Like
which one's that one again? What's the weird
tat that
comes with it?
It's the one with the box and like the, I don't know, if it's like a watch or a compass.
Oh, yeah.
And a little like sew-on badge thing,
I remember.
I
because we were talking about the Fallout 4 Special Edition, weren't we, when they announced that, where you got the little big plastic bracelet that you could slide your smartphone in to act as a pit.
It'll be somewhere between 100 and 200 quid, I imagine.
Too much. It'll be too much.
Too much. But no, you do not get a physical disc.
And quite frankly, how dare you for assuming as much?
It might come with a steel case thing, but then you would open it
that
and
is,
there would just be nothing
a
inside
lot of them
it.
Do. I'll get to one of my points right now then. This has been done before, and it's weird, and I don't understand why. It was the case with God of War's Jotnar edition, the one where you had the, you know, Thor's mallet that he uses to hit tent pegs in the ground with.
Yep.
And I believe that had a steelbook, but no game. They also did it with a special edition for Horizon, a special edition for Mass Effect Legendary edition as well. All of these big, what am I trying to say? The big editions.
Yeah. Mm.
For some reason, they're not including the physical disc, and that is really weird. I'm not sure I understand the logic.
It's especially weird with the big physical special editions. It's one thing if a publisher has made the decision to just release a code because they think it's cheaper than printing discs, burning discs. There's a different question to be. You know, there are reasons to still say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. But if they've decided that's why we're doing it, it cuts the costs, so we're going to do that, then fine. But when someone's already paying, whatever, $150 for a special edition, maybe you could then go the extra mile and burn a disc for them. That's, you know, call me crazy, but that's what I think you should do.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, how much more cost-wise would it be to just stick a disc in it as well? Like, if you're already doing a production of them, because I was just thinking, like, all of those games have like disc versions that you can get in the shop. So why wouldn't they just include that
Yeah.
Instead of a digital copy. It's weird. I know that obviously there's always like extra digital bonuses when it comes to those kind of editions.
Yeah.
But whether that affects it so much that it's just easier to give them a digital code rather than like, oh, once you put the disc in, redeem this digital code to get like all of your stuff.
Yeah, just give them a code for the special stuff.
Yeah. You don't have to... It is weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... This is... I don't like this because it means that in 10 years' time, if something disappears off a storefront or off a server, you won't necessarily be able to re-download the game. You know, it's nice to be able to just stick a disc into your console and install something from there. I mean, that being said, a lot of games that come with discs nowadays anyway won't work entirely off the disc. You'll get like a partial install and you will still have to install the rest from the cloud or whatever. So that already is becoming an issue that isn't simply, you can't simply remedy that by saying our game has a physical release, because you still might not be able to play it in 10 years' time. But
that and like the day one patches that always come out that you've got like as big as the game of things that they fixed since that's been put on there. So it is a weird vibe, I think, right now of like, oh, good news, everyone. A digital copy of a game is also going to be there. It's kind of a weird thing. But I do also think that more people are gravitating towards digital copies in the sense that they can be shared between other people at the same time. I know that's why me and my partner, we get a digital copy so we can both play it on our PlayStations separately if we want to. And also it's like just ease of like, well, it's already on the PlayStation. So if I don't know, take my PlayStation to my friend's house, it's already there. I've not got to bring the disc with me.
Yeah.
So there is like a lot of bonuses and we are living in a newly digital world, but it is a shame whenever I see like a game's just coming out on a digital release only and no physical copies.
It's a shame to just not have the option, I guess, is the main thing for me, because in the same way that you have a choice nowadays of physical disc tray versus digital only consoles, if you've already made that choice to begin with when deciding on what hardware you want, why not then actually have the games available for both? You know, in both forms, because at this point, or if it's going to continue the way things are, they might as well have only just released digital-only hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going by their logic, I mean, not by what I would like to see.
It's the entire reason that limited-run games exists, is to give physical versions to games that were previously digital-only, oftentimes indie games, because people want that. And I get that that's more niche, because the games themselves are niche, and they only print a certain amount to fill that demand. But certainly with the likes of Alan Wake and Starfield, you know, you would they're much bigger games than you would expect that. However, to answer Bartek's question about, you know, are we going to... Is it? Do we have to clarify now that, hey, this game is coming out physically, just so you know? I don't know that we're there just yet. I think this is two isolated incidents that have just happened around the same time. And I think it would make sense. I think it would make sense for Starfield to be digital only, quite frankly, given that I don't think many people are going to be buying this game because it's going to be on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And that's where the vast majority of people are going to play it. And as for Alan Wake, they have actually given a reason, which is that they said they wanted to keep the price below $70, which is why they're not doing a physical version of the game. And I think THQ Nordic have offered to print physical discs for them, and there was some discourse back and forth, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be happening. I think it's a shame that that's not happening. But as I said, I think this is just two isolated incidents happening close together. But you are right, you know, obviously we're moving towards digital and a lot more people are playing digital. But I think it should be probably just taken, unless explicitly stated otherwise, I think it should be taken as read that all reasonably sized games are getting a physical version.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're at that point just yet.
Not yet, no. But I think we might be heading there.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for something a little bit new.
Yeah, brand new, in fact. We've never done it before. It's a segment that we are calling What We Playin'.
It's What We Playin' time to talk about the games that we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing this week?
I have mostly been playing Star Wars. I'm having a good time. It seems to be more stable, I think. I'm now only getting frame rate issues when it's doing cutscene-y stuff in game. And by that, I don't just mean sort of pre-rendered cutscenes. I mean wandering into a vista or whatever, and he goes, oh, wow, look at that. You know, it tends to still slow down a bit, still in performance mode, but, you know, it seems better.
Yeah.
That being said, I did manage to get a sandworm stuck in a corner.
I did see that.
Or it's the crab, isn't it? It's not actually a worm. You know when you go to Jakku and there's the monsters in the sand coming after you?
When you first get there, there's like when a you first desert arrive. Area.
Yes, yes, I do remember.
Yeah, that was... I'm trying to remember what happened. It was like the start of the week. But yeah, I just sort of... I think it was chasing me and I jumped out onto a bit of stone where it couldn't get me.
Mm.
And I was then like looking the other way and like trying to see what was going on. And the music was still playing.
Mm.
And when I turned around, there was just this mass of... you know, a bump in the sand where it was moving, and it was just stuck in the corner, and it started to like shake back and forth.
Oh my god!
it's
and gonna break out of your TV.
Yeah, and it, I then hit the share button to do a post, and I hadn't paused the game. And you know, like if you bring up the PlayStation UI, the game can still be resumed in the background. So I'm like messing around. I'm still standing there, and it's like still like that, and I'm trimming the clip down and like posting it on Twitter and stuff. And then I got my phone out. And then by the time I looked up, I realized that it had gone entirely. And then I could run around in that area where I was not supposed to be running and it wouldn't come and get me.
Brilliant.
It was just gone. So there's a hack for you. If you want to get past that crab, just get it stuck in the corner. And
just
apparently
stuck in the corner.
The game eventually decides this is stuck. We better just delete it, I suppose.
Very good.
What I should have done is hit the share button again and actually seen what happened, but I didn't think to do that. So I'll never know quite in what way it disappeared.
Mystery.
Maybe it flew up to the sky, or maybe it sank into the floor.
I hope it did. I hope it's on another planet waiting for you now.
Yeah.
It's gone into orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it'll find you.
Yeah, it'll get me.
Always heat seeking.
Constantly. So that's mostly what I played. I also, I actually played a little bit of Terraria with some friends on... What is it today? Thursday. So on Tuesday, I played some Terraria and that was very nice. But apart from that, I mean, that was only like a couple of hours. But apart from that, yeah, Star Wars. That's what I've been playing.
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
Ashton.
I've been playing some Assassin's Creed 2 still. I'm very close to the end now. I didn't realize that there's like two additional segments in this game, in the Exo Collection, that are not in the original game because they're like the added DLC. So I was like, why do all of these things say recovered memories? Like that's not happened the rest of the game. And I googled it and it turns out the two segments I was doing were like additional content that was added later that they cut out of the game initially, then finished and put back into the game for DLC. I'm enjoying that, but I do find myself shouting at Ezio all the time for just throwing himself off things or like just not doing the climbing the way that I think he should. I've called him an Italian plonker more times than like I'm nice to him.
That's racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really bad.
But I'm enjoying the game and it's like scratching that itch for me. I don't know if I'm gonna go straight into Brotherhood after I finish it. I might play Dishonored 2 first and then maybe go back to Brotherhood later on. Still gotta finish Hellblade, actually. I keep forgetting to do that. And I've also been playing some Planet Zoo this week because I had the urge to play it on stream. And then since I played it on stream, that's all I want to play. I just want to go back and like finish my zoo. We made Dead Island Zoo was the name of our zoo.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've designed it so that the paths are laid out like a big spider.
Mm. Excellent.
And we've got tigers and we've got tortoises and we've got llamas and we've got cheetahs. And then I'm hopefully going to get some walruses.
Nice.
Next time.
Can you get walruses in there?
I think so. I don't know if they're in the packs that I've got or if they're in a different pack, but I'm pretty sure we might be able to get at least like a sea lion.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Close enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
But oh man, that game just gives me joy. And I'm not very good at it. And I only play it on Sandbox where there's no like, you're running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that. I just want to make nice little exhibits for my animals. And have people be like, wow, look at that llama. But all my animals kept shagging and like producing more animals to deal with. And I was getting overwhelmed very quickly.
Can you not sterilize them?
Well, I put one of the tortoises on contraception because he just kept, he kept making more tortoises. And I was like, there is too many tortoises.
Just let them run free.
Yeah.
I mean, have there be a big pit.
Yeah.
And let them all just have animal royale. Just go for it.
The llamas are, they're also doing the same thing. It kept getting like a little pop up in the top corner that was like, your llamas are mating. your llama's about to give birth. And I was like, oh my God, stop. So
horny llamas.
They're all horny. Yeah. Terrible. It's the horniest zoo in the world. Anyway, that's what I've been playing this week.
Excellent.
Nice.
I played a few things. I am still playing Diablo 4. I've just hit level 40 in Diablo 4, and I'm having a great time doing the same thing over and over again. I'm enjoying it. I got the Platinum Trophy in 10 dates, which is it's such a game. It really is.
It's definitely our game.
It exists, that's for sure. And I did get to go, because for all of them, you have to go on successful dates with all of the people. Mm. I got to see out all of the different potential dates with the people, and I've got to say, some of them have absolutely zero redeeming qualities whatsoever,
right?
Because sure. All of them seem to put up like this initial defense, like, oh, that was a bit weird, go on a further date to find out what's really going on here. And some of them have like tragic backstories, or they're introverted, or
some just like books because she's not like other girls.
Yeah, she's not like most girls. And then there's a couple who are just like, wow, this guy is terrible. Mm-hmm. This guy is genuinely, he just sucks. This guy sucks. Mm-hmm. And you still have to agree to his requests in order to get the Platinum Trophy. So that's something I did. It's done now. I have also been playing a lot of two rather large games, AEW Fight Forever and Final Fantasy 16, which I am going to discuss in much more detail right now in the Review Corner with James Jenkins.
Hello and welcome to Review Corner.
Ooh.
What am I doing here? Hi, I'm James.
Hi,
I'm joined
James.
By Ben.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? Have you been playing some games this week or recently?
I certainly have. I've been playing two games, in fact,
nice.
That I'm going to talk about back to back. But James, I've got to do the thing that we've always got to do.
Of course.
When we reach this section and when we do streams with codes that we are very kindly sent by the publishers or by the PR involved in these games,
to
say the following. Mm-hmm. Per ASA guidelines, we are compelled to disclose that we received a gifted code for Final Fantasy 16 and AEW Fight Forever from Square Enix and THQ Nordic respectively, and that this video is therefore categorized as an ad. However, no financial compensation was provided in exchange for coverage. We're just going to talk about these games. Should we start with AEW Fight Forever?
Sure, let's go for it. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? How are you finding it so far?
I don't think it's very good.
Oh,
I'm just going to say that.
Just get it out there.
I'm just going to say that right out the gate. I don't think it's very good.
Okay.
At the time that we're recording this, it's before the embargo, and so I don't know what the wider world thinks of AEW Fight Forever just yet. But to give a bit of background, this game was announced 3-ish years ago.
A long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
And they've often said, lots of people involved in the production of the game, that they want to sort of harken back to the likes of WWF No Mercy in the 90s and how accessible that was, and how that's a game that's still held up and appreciated today.
And was it made by the same people, Yuke's, right?
No, or, it wasn't Yuke's. I think it was Acclaim was them. But Yuke's certainly developed this game, and they were involved in a lot of the PS2 wrestling games that people loved, including myself. You know, they made Here Comes the Pain, and there's no better wrestling game than that, as far as I'm concerned. So they've gone for this very specific visual style, which is not a secret to people who've been following this game, because we've seen bits of drip-fed gameplay for quite some time now. They're these sort of strange action figure proportioned models.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, I don't like them. I think it's going to be very subjective. Some people are going to really like them. Some people are not going to be fussed. And some people, like myself, are just going to think that looks a bit rubbish.
Exaggerated proportions,
now, there was no way that they could ever compete with the 2K wrestling games. And I want to say that now, because I feel like that has been at the forefront of a lot of the pre-release criticism for Fight Forever, is that, oh, it looks rubbish compared to the 2K games.
It's their first crack at the whip, you know?
It's their first crack. Yeah. And also they've said, we're not trying to compete with them. You know, we can't. Mm. The budget's very different. However, I think the style that they've gone for, it doesn't quite work for me visually. They've got these really high detail scans of the bodies and the faces of all of their performers that are in the game. But for some reason, the way they've implemented them is that it looks great on the bodies. Like, you can tell who they are from their outfits and their tattoos and stuff like that. But on the faces, it just looks like a sort of a JPEG of the faces being slapped on. And the quality of it varies wildly.
Yeah.
So on the likes of, for example, Kenny Omega. It looks like Kenny Omega is wearing a mask of his own face.
For God's sake.
CM Punk, his little profile still image when you select him, mm-hmm. The corner of his mouth is kind of upturned in the corner, like he's going, but his moustache goes through it. Like, it looks like his facial hair goes through his mouth. Like,
it's weird model errors and stuff.
It just doesn't look good. And that's, I think that's where the subjectivity ends in terms of appreciating these character models or liking them or not liking them. I think it just doesn't work, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's a shame.
So I'm not a huge fan of how it looks.
Does CM Punk come with a free bag of muffins or whatever he was scranning when he kicked off?
No, it doesn't. It does not come with muffins.
Well, there you go. Inaccurate that way as well. So
the way the game plays, in fairness to it, I think they have managed to nail the accessibility in that it's much simpler to play than the 2K games. And you can, it's just like square to punch, triangle to kick, X to grapple. And there are more complicated controls, you know, as you progress through. But you could reasonably just like punch someone and grapple someone and then pin them, because it does prompt you to pin.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, uncooperative is how I would describe the gameplay. A lot of times you are sort of swinging at nothing or trying to grab at nothing. The reversal system is a bit of a challenge as well. There is an easier version of the reversal system that you can enable, but you have to sort of, you can hold R1 and L1 to block strikes or grapples. And each one does a different one. Or you can press it just before in order to counter.
Okay.
But unlike more conventional modern wrestling games, it doesn't prompt you with a counter prompt.
You just have to guess.
And that can be really hard to nail down. And I'm just about getting the hang of it now, having played it for, you know, many hours.
Okay.
But I think for newcomers, that is going to be... that's going to be an issue. And there's no real... the tutorial is not good. It's just in your first match, it will flash up cue cards and say, this is how you do this. And it will, every few seconds, flash up another one, regardless of its relevancy. Like, it'll be telling you how to pin when you're, you know, less than a minute into a match. It's like, okay, I'll try and remember that.
So it's not timed with certain actions. It doesn't like freeze at the point where you need to counter, for example. Like, just,
exactly.
For God's sake.
It doesn't really...
That's a shame.
It doesn't really help newcomers through that. So while someone who's playing it for the first time could just button mash and have a decent enough time, if they want to actually do anything properly... they need to sit down and actually learn how to play the game. Yeah. And I don't think the game does a very good job of telling you how to do that. And on top of that, I just don't think it plays hugely well because, especially against the AI, they don't always play ball all the time. And, you know, you're doing, a tag match, and as soon as you go for a pin or a submission, both the AI partners both climb into the ring and they both sprint at each other and then just get caught on the people in the middle of the ring who are pinning it and then stand there. It's like, what?
Oh, God.
What's going on there?
So there's some weird AI bugginess going on.
You've got the entrances as well were a big sticking point for me. Again, these seem to be an homage to No Mercy, where they're about 5 seconds long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just shows them walking out on the stage, doing a pose, and then fades to black.
That's part of like the big pageantry of wrestling as well. Yeah, I don't know nearly as much about it as some people in the office do. But yeah, like some of the flashier entrances, especially like these days, and we have the technology, it feels like they've harkened back to it, but a bit too much. Like they've been a bit too faithful to the point where it seems dated.
I think so. Yeah. Excuse me. I wrote a review for Push Square, which should be live now. And in that I said that there's sort of like this, there's a dogged determination to pay homage to what came before, but it kind of ignores how far games and wrestling games have come in that time. And no, they can't create something on the scale of a 2K game. That's just understandable. But what they have done, I don't think it cuts the mustard, really. And that's a real shame. The main thrust of the game, though, I would say, is the Road to Elite mode, which is their equivalent of a career mode.
Yeah.
And it plays out over the course of 4 blocks of 4 weeks. And each block has a storyline in it that culminates in a pay-per-view at the end. And that can run from entering into a tag team and becoming the tag champs, or winning the world championship, or trying to take over the company. You can play as a male or a female wrestler.
Is that quite flexible then, as opposed to quite like a scripted set of like storylines there? So it's a bit more like the old school where it can fluctuate between all sorts of different
options. A little bit, yeah, because there's no voice acting and there's no commentary. Good. Yeah, there's no voice acting, no commentary, which does mean in this mode that they can substitute certain roles for different wrestlers. You know, it could be random each time. Obviously, there's a lot of the storylines do play out with specific wrestlers in mind. So they have to be in there every time. But there is there's an element of replayability. It always starts the same though. And depending on how you perform in your first match, I think that then puts you on a path to a different storyline. But I played it through like two or three times. And each time it took me maybe a couple of hours to finish the whole thing.
Okay.
It's not very long. No. And it's also, bear with me, really weird.
Oh, good.
Because there's a time management element to the game.
Oh, Jesus.
So you've got 4 weeks in a block, right? And 4 weeks where these storylines play out over each storyline.
Persona or?
A little bit.
Dead Rising, maybe?
So each week you get four goes before you have to go to your match, or you can just go straight to your match. Mm. Now you can work out at the gym and risk injury or or you increase your momentum because there's various stats that you have to manage in career mode. You can go sightseeing, and whichever city you're in or whichever town you're in, you can bump into other wrestlers. And they're just, you're like looking at the Statue of Liberty, or you can go on chat shows. There's mini games that are just like, they really do run the gamut of quality. Yeah. Some of them are spot the difference, which is rubbish. And some of them are things like run around the ring and collect the most poker chips. Whoever gets the most wins. Some of them are really crap, and a lot of them are really frustrating.
Fun in a crazy way. At least they've gone out of the comfort zone sort of thing.
They've tried something different there. Yeah. And also, the best bit, you can go out to eat.
Okay.
And when you go out to eat, you try the local town's delicacy, and it gives you a little fact card about the food from that town.
Oh, that's nice.
And again, you can bump into wrestlers there. And it's very strange because you'll, for example, you go see the Statue of Liberty and there's Powerhouse Hobbs. And Powerhouse Hobbs is like, I'm going to beat you up. Mm-hmm. I'm scary. And then your character will say, all right, Powerhouse Hobbs, no need for that. Can we get a selfie before you go? And then you take a selfie and it goes in like a little photo album of like my precious memories.
Oh, that's
cute. It's bizarre. Like, I found it quite endearing. I liked what they were going for.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really make a lot of sense. When you go to work out, you don't actually work out.
Bizarre.
You watch your character work out and you just skip it and you get the buffs from it at the end.
Oh, okay, so no minigame there.
You're not pumping iron. When you go on a chat show, you're not answering questions. You just sat there looking.
That would have been nice. Yeah, missed opportunities. But
exactly. But beyond that, I feel like it's just not very well polished or thought out because between storylines, there's no continuity. So I would win the tag championships in my first storyline, for example. Yeah. And then the very first week of the next block on the new storyline, I would be in a one-on-one match against my tag partner. No fanfare. The championships are never spoken of again.
Brilliant.
In another one, I won the world championship in my first block. And at the end of the final block of the career mode, it was implied that I was challenging for the world championship and not defending it, even though I was the champion. And there's just a lot of bits that don't really make a lot of sense.
I was going to ask because I think I heard something about it and you've reminded me. Create a wrestler mode.
Yes.
Is there one?
There is one, but it's extremely limited. It's kind of like the creation suite from Diablo recently. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of. Where you pick from 5 preset faces, maybe 12 hairstyles, and then there's almost no clothing options at all. It's there, and it's an option.
Okay, well, but at least I've got something.
While you remind me, actually, the roster is hugely outdated. There's a lot of inclusions that are kind of baffling and a lot of exclusions that make no sense. There's a huge number of current champions are not in the game.
Hmm.
There's a championship that they've had for over a year that's not in the game. The women's championship is the original design that was phased out over a year ago. So there's a lot. It feels like it's based on year one of AEW, but then they've also included some of the newer names like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson in there as well to modernize it a bit. But there's a lot missing, and the creation suite is nowhere near comprehensive enough for you to create
anyone who is missing, you know, a reasonable degree. I think they're going to add more through DLC. But anyway, I think AEW Fight Forever is an extremely ambitious but very flawed game.
Okay.
My main issue is that it feels very budget. It feels like a budget game, but it is not a budget game. It's £50. Mm. And if they set a price point of like 25 quid, maybe even 30 quid, a lot of the issues that I've talked about today, I'd be willing to let slide. Mm. But they're charging far too much money for this game, I think. Yeah. And as an AEW officially licensed game, obviously it's largely only going to appeal to AEW fans anyway.
Yeah.
But I feel like realistically, Fight Forever is only going to appeal to the hardcore of AEW's fans, because I think a lot of people who watch AEW will maybe give this a go and think, what the bloody hell is this? This isn't very good. But as it stands, Fight Forever is the only AEW, officially licensed AEW video game out there. And so this is all you've got.
By default.
So you're going to get something out of it, but just set those expectations really low, because I personally don't think it's very good. I like a lot of what they've tried, but it sets itself up nicely that if they do, if they are able to turn around a sequel in reasonable time, there's a lot to learn from and a lot to improve upon. But just consider this a warning. If you are really excited for this game, go in with your expectations a lot lower than perhaps they should be.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, their first crack at this sort of thing. And yeah, as long as it's got that sort of potential and those building blocks. But yeah, like you say, and with the price point as well, it being like a proper thing, you've got to have that expectation set. It doesn't matter if, oh, this is their first try, they're still charging the same amount as the competitor, so 2K23, right? Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's not quite as much, because I think 2K are doing the £70 thing. But it's still, £50 is a lot of money, and I don't think this game's worth £50. So maybe wait for a sale or something similar.
Yeah.
And if you want to see it in action, I streamed it earlier this week, and it should be available on the VODs channel now.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see it going. Now, it's time to talk about a game that I am actually really enjoying and loving, and that is Final Fantasy 16.
Woo!
So let me give you a bit of background here, James.
Okay.
It's set in the land of Valestia. There are six nations that have sprung up around gigantic mother crystals that grant them magical powers.
Oh, I like this lore.
Within each of the nations are dominants, who are humans who wield the power of icons, which, and icons are this game's name for traditional summons.
Bahamut?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Ifrit, Shiva. Yes.
There you go.
Ramu. Etc. I think Ramu's one. Anyway, so yeah, they've sort of, it's a spin on the traditional summon formula, because before it was like, okay, I'm going to summon this giant fire devil who's going to breathe fire on you in the middle of a normal battle. Now, there's a lot more weight to it. And these people are obviously very significant within their civilizations that in which they reside. So you play as Clive Rosfield. His name is Clive. We're all just going to have to be okay with that. he's on a journey of revenge as the nation's war and the roles of dominance and their desire to be dominance start to shift. So I'm not going to give any specific details, but Clive's really cross and he wants to get his own back. He falls in with a group led by Ralph Ineson, who's got that, or Ineson, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, who's got that absurd gravel voice. And he's great. And something I talked about when I played the demo the other week on the podcast is that this game is noticeably a lot more mature, which I love. So it's full of swearing and big swears. They say the flip word all the time.
Oh, okay.
There's adult sexual content, but no nips or peen. No nips or peen.
Okay.
You know, it's heavily implied. They don't shy away from it. And it's it feels like a grown-up game for grown-ups.
Good.
And it's taking itself more seriously.
Just a very slight aside. I had some beef, a lot of beef with Final Fantasy 15 and the writing involved in that. And it seems like this seems like miles apart from that. Which is good in that respect.
I'm going to pull a name out of my arse now. Mm. Koji Fox is what is. I want to say that's his name.
Yeah.
Citation very much needed. Yeah. I will cut it out of this in the edit if it's not correct. So if it is, that's great. He's basically a localization whiz kid who has risen up the ranks in Final Fantasy development and has played in a very prominent role in writing this game and making sure it's good. And that's part of the reason why the accents are so good. Again, as we've spoken about on the podcast, because they've made sure to use regional UK accents and dialogue and dialect and not rely on Americans doing Bristolian accents and saying, you know, Americanisms and stuff. Like, not that there's anything wrong with Americans or Americanisms, but when it's in the context of a fantasy world and they're meant to be from Bristol, it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right.
You get a Charon mate sort of situation.
Exactly. Yeah. I hate that so much. a great deal of care has gone into that. And I've met a Geordie now. I've done it.
Yes.
It was fantastic. I've met a Bristolian. I think I've met someone from Liverpool as well. Hey. You know, Valestia, Liverpool, whatever. And as a result, I think it feels quite Game of Thronesy in its presentation.
Oh, very nice.
And I really like it. Like, it's not as horrific, but it's... there have been some moments where it's like, Jesus Christ, this is a bit it's a bit unexpected, a bit much, isn't it?
It sounds very like political in nature as well, with warring different nations warring.
Civilization, all that sort of stuff. So your home base is a hideout, which has various vendors and quest givers, and you can craft stuff there and so on.
Excellent.
You find obelisks in new locations, which you can then fast travel to. Yes. It's not open world in the sense that we've come to expect from Final Fantasy. I'd say it's more like Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is like sort of a series of corridors.
Okay.
But some areas are a lot more open. And as a result, I think the game feels a lot more focused.
Open areas.
The stories, the missions, the quests, they all play out like, okay, well, we finished this thing. We now need to go over to here. And it's like, okay, well, I've got the option to go there, or I can fast travel back to the hideout and like do some stuff and then come back. Gameplay-wise and combat-wise, it is an action RPG, so it's not turn-based.
Yeah.
Clive has a sword. He's got distanced spell casting and special moves that have a cooldown. He is the shield for the Dominant of the Phoenix, which means that he has some Phoenix-related abilities from the start, so some fire-based offense.
Okay.
He can dash and explode in fire to open a sword attack. He can chain that with throwing a fireball to end a combo with fire. You can unlock more moves spent with ability points, like sort of a jumping, slashing strike, and you can then upgrade those further if you want to, which is good. And I've got a couple of my special moves at the moment are a spinning fire attack and a huge flaming uppercut thing, which both require a cooldown. And some of the bigger enemies have stagger meters and stuff. And when you fully stagger them, then they're completely open to attack. You've got dodges and so on and so forth. It's got a level of difficulty that I think is sort of perfect at the certainly at the moment, because while I am having to use potions, I do feel like I'm not just getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
And it looks, you look really cool while you're fighting as well.
The combat looks amazing. I believe, so they brought in someone, I forget the name, but somebody from the Devil May Cry series, right?
Oh, did they?
To revamp the combat. I think so.
I mean, that makes sense if that's true.
But yeah, the combat looks very sort of modernized and more like action focused as well, which, and it looks beautiful from what I've seen as well.
Yeah.
Very flashy.
It is a looker. And you may or may not unlock more elemental powers as you go, potentially. And those sort of play out the same way that God of War Ragnarok did.
Yeah.
In that you have abilities for each type. So, for example, my flaming uppercut, if I did that and then it needs to recharge, I could switch over to maybe another set and use my... So you could essentially just spam out all of your big attacks right from the get-go and then let those slowly cool down and then do them all again, which is how I played God of War anyway. Your party's controlled by AI, but you can instruct Torgal, the big friendly dog, if you wish to heal or do a couple of types of attack. You do have a big friendly dog.
Amazing.
He's great. He's called Torgal. And yes, you can pet him. And yes, there is a trophy, which is great.
Nice.
Or you don't have to control Torgal, because instead of difficulty or accessibility settings, what Final Fantasy 16 does is it gives you a handful of rings or equipable rings from the get-go that essentially make the game a lot easier.
Yeah.
So there's one where you just have to press square and then you can do like crazy attacks. Mm. It does it for you. There's one that auto evades.
Okay.
There's one that controls Torgal for you, which I have equipped just because I can't be asked to, like, because he's on the same controls. You have to switch between healing items and controlling Torgal, and I'd rather have quick access to my healing items. Yeah. So there's still a tactical trade-off. He's a very good boy.
He can handle himself.
Yes. There's still a tactical trade-off in that you only have a certain amount of slots for these rings, and you may pick up rings that you'd prefer to have, like plus 10 defense or whatever. So
So optimally, it doesn't quite, if you want to be super optimal, then you would like basically up the difficulty there, but it's a more sort of ingrained in the systems themselves. It's interesting.
I think it's an interesting approach. Yeah. I think it's an interesting way to do difficulty, and it's obviously faced criticism from people who would say, well, that's ruining the game. You could just do that. And it's like, well, yeah, but you could just not do that.
But yeah.
It's there as an option, and I'm not personally going to use them apart from the toggle one, just because I feel like that's a bit of management taken off my hands. Yeah. And as I said, there's a tactical element. There's a tactical loss to that because I could have another ring in that slot that boosts my stats. And I've decided to farm out management of toggle to a ring. Exactly. So I like it. I think it's really good. I think it works. So every so often as well, there are these huge icon battles where the dominants start controlling their icons, and they're just these big, absurd, over-the-top set pieces. They are essentially big QTEs, but they're such a spectacle that they're really something to behold. And I think they're flipping gorgeous. So those are good too. Now, one major criticism, though, is that it doesn't run very well outside of battle. On performance mode, it is absolutely not hitting 60 frames per second. Jesus. Graphics mode locked at 30 doesn't enhance. This is the trade-off for me. This is the problem with Star Wars as well, Jedi Fallen Order, is that the graphics mode doesn't enhance the visuals enough for me to justify potentially having 60 frames where I can have 60 frames.
Yeah.
So I've been keeping it on performance mode, and it's not ideal. It just noticeably slows down, and that's a real shame.
I mean, it does look very, very beautiful from what I've seen, and you know, just the environments as well as like the effects and everything. But yeah, performance mode not hitting 60 is pretty bad.
I feel like that should just be a standard. How is that still not happening? So I'm hoping that can be fixed with patches and so on. But at the moment, I'm utterly engrossed by it. Yeah. I think it's really, really good, and I love this new dark approach that they're going with.
There's
a decent enough mystery at the center of it that I really want to know what's going on. I find the combat really fun.
Nice.
I'm having a great time. I really want to sit down and play just a load of it in one sitting, but I haven't had the chance yet because I've been playing AEW Fight Forever. there we are. Maybe soon. Next week on the podcast, I'll be able to talk in way more detail. But thank you to Square Enix, and thank you to THQ Nordic.
Thank you very much.
Do you have any further questions, James?
I suppose the one thing that I've seen potentially as a criticism, but it's more of like a different point of view, I guess, with Final Fantasy. Obviously, they change up their combat and systems all the time, but apparently, like, it's unusual to see the focus dropped for other party members, because, you know, that's like a traditional thing of like, you know, you build up your party and you level up and stuff. Is there still like a lot of I suppose RPG-y mechanics? Are you still leveling up like that, or have they gone full action RPG mode on it?
It's all about Clive.
All about Clive, baby.
It's all about Clive. Yeah. I'm still in single digit hours. I'm close to 10 hours in, but so it may well change as it goes. I've only got Cid and Torgle in my party, but I have not yet found a way to equip anything to those party members. They're not leveling up. They're just... It's all about Clive.
Yeah.
That's
the direction they took. Yeah.
That's the direction they took. And it would be nice to maybe equip some gear or something. But quite frankly, I think the way they've handled the combat this time around, far faster than usual.
Yeah.
I think it'd be very difficult to manage everybody else as well. I find it hard enough to manage Torgle, and I just have to press up on the D-pad for him to bite someone. So, that is a fair criticism. But also, I think it speaks volumes that I didn't pick it up at all. Like that just has not been an issue for me.
Exactly. If it's not really an issue, if it stands on its own with a new system, I mean, you know, like Final Fantasy changing every single time. Like there's no continuity between like the mainline games anyway. They're changing their systems all the time. And if this works, then that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So
I think it does work. Yeah. And I'll talk more about it next week.
Amazing stuff. Wow, lovely. Well, thank you very much. I think that's everything. Are you all sorted?
I'm all sorted. Yeah. Let's go back to the podcast, James.
Well,
thank you.
Better clear off then.
Get out of here.
Thank you. All right. See you later. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it's time for question two now. This comes from Cameron Keyword. I almost smashed your names together. Sorry, Cameron. Hello, BAP. CD Projekt's VP of PR and comms, Michael Platow-Gilewski.
I think that's pretty good attempt.
Mr. MPG to his friends, thinks players were too harsh on Cyberpunk 2077 around launch, claiming that it became a cool thing not to like it. The hours upon hours of YouTube glitch highlights, many refunds and even being removed from PlayStation Store listings tell me otherwise. The game has turned the corner and is now a great experience, and with the upcoming DLC, I'll be hopping back into play and hopefully mop up the platinum. Pan Am for life. Love that gal. Does the statement show that CD Projekt Red have learnt nothing about 2077's launch, or is he right? Kind regards, Cameron J. Keyword. I have a quote from what he was saying. He was talking to GameIndustry.biz about the launch and the developer's journey to rectify its mistakes. And he said, I was personally not happy with how things turned out. I was not expecting that. I knew immediately that we had to come back. I like the swap that we were in before launch. I'm not talking about the peak of hype. The 2 years before that, we had our community. We liked them. They liked us. It was awesome to work with CD Projekt Red. He then says, I actually believe Cyberpunk on launch was way better than it was received. And even the first reviews were positive. Then it became a cool thing not to like it. We went from hero to zero pretty fast. That was a tough moment. We didn't know what was happening. We knew the game is great, yet... that yes, we can improve it. Yes, we need to take time to do it. And we need to rebuild some stuff. That took us a lot of time, but I don't believe we were ever broken. We were always like, let's do this. So it was very uplifting in what he said, in the sense that he was like, we knew, like, it. We had to fix it. We were in a good place. Then we weren't. But I don't think it ever demoralized us too much. But he does say that he thinks that everyone was just jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I want to highlight one particular bit that he says there about... where was it? Even the first reviews were positive. Mm-hmm. Allow me to quote directly from Wikipedia now, because it seems like so long ago that I'd forgotten the ins and outs of it, and thankfully Wikipedia has it all chronicled. CD Projekt Red issued strict review embargo terms on these review copies, requiring reviewers to sign non-disclosure agreements and only allowing footage provided by the company to be shown in reviews. According to Wired magazine, which did not receive a reviewer copy, violating the NDA would cost around $27,000 per violation. Concern also arose over the fact that review copies were issued for the PC version of the game, ensuring that all pre-release reviews related to the PC version of the game, excluding consoles. Mm-hmm. As a result, this eroded trust from some consumers. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidgen. So
this is... I hate that the narrative is being twisted like this at this point, that it's turned a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people may be on board with saying, you know what, actually, it wasn't so bad. Mm. That's bollocks.
Yeah.
They lied to everyone. And they knew how bad it was because they locked everyone into legal agreements to review the PC version, which mm-hmm. was by far the most stable version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very VP of PR and comms thing to say. It's his job to go out and try and essentially be a bit of a spin doctor, I would say.
Yeah.
And look, like the one thing I can kind of go in on or agree on to a certain extent is that he says something like that was very difficult, or that sucked, or something. Mm. And I'm sure it did. Like, they'd worked on this game for years and years and years. They knew how excited people had been for it and were at launch, thinking that it was going to be like the next AAA hit, one of the kind of the new greats in gaming.
And the reason that everyone was so excited was because that they had literally not stopped promoting it for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to EGX like a few months before it released, and they were showing like a extended preview of like gameplay. You had to go in and sit in a little theater, and a woman would speak to you, and a guy would play the game, and you were like, wow, this game looks great. Because everything that they did up until the point of launch was like, the game is amazing. Mm. You're gonna poo your pants.
It's gonna be so amazing. It's poo inducing.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was riding a big high. I'm sure they all were, or maybe I guess probably they weren't all feeling like genuinely amazing about it, because they probably knew this is probably not going to be received that well.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, from the point of view of seeing how people were talking about the game before it came out, that must have felt really good. And then, when you then release it and everyone starts crapping on it, I'm sure it does feel really bad. And it probably feels as though people are jumping on a bandwagon and it's become the cool thing to do to hate on it. And that could be true. It's not mutually exclusive, though, from the fact that it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be trendy and you know, the latest kind of talking point on social media to say this thing that's just come out is a terrible thing. Look at all these jokes and memes and stupid clips.
Well, it's exactly what happened with Forspoken. The game is objectively like not a a terrible game. It doesn't run badly. Yeah. Like, the mechanics are fine. Mm. It looks all right. People were just memeing on it because the writing was cringe, mm-hmm. and people didn't like the way it presented itself. But that's people jumping on the bandwagon, having not played the game, seeing out of context clips and being like, this game sucks. That if they came out and said, I think it became the cool thing to hate on our game, I would say, you know, fair enough. Yeah. But like you say, Cyberpunk was broken. It wasn't that it was just like a couple of clips taken out of context. It was hours and hours of gameplay footage people have seen. Mm. It was streamers not getting the game to work. It was players not getting the game to work. It was reviews coming in for the console versions that were like in the 50s because it just did not run. It was like you say, having to take it off the PlayStation store because it didn't work and issue refunds. Yeah. That's not people just being like, oh, lol, meme, terrible game, like, dead game. Yeah. Like, that's not that. That's something completely different.
It became the cool thing to hate on it because it was bad.
Yeah.
And it was the right thing. It was warranted.
It was almost justified.
And also, like, beyond all of the consumer and public reaction to it, there were inside sources that Jason Schreier reported on who said, yeah, we were forced to push this out. Mm-hmm. We know it was not ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, he's as you said, Peter, he's doing his job.
But I think it's
and
like,
he's trying to spin it. But it's just, it's false. That's not true at all. I've got the average review scores there, Ashton, if you wanted to.
PC was 86 out of 100. PS4 was 57 out of 100. Yeah. PS5 was 75. Xbox One was 61. And Xbox Series was 87.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can tell that, like, you know, that those aren't amazing scores regardless. I mean, I would say some of them were too high for certain things. But I think I kind of disagree that he's, like, putting his PR face on. Because I think if he was, they wouldn't be like, it was the cool thing to, you know, hate on us. I think that they would be being like, you know, we've learned from our mistakes and we think the game now is really good and I'm really pleased with how it's turned out.
You think he's just being delusional?
I don't know. I kind of feel like he is.
What is he doing?
Like, what? Because that's not telling...
It's a fair point,
because it's not like we weren't there. We were there.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
saw it happen.
Maybe put it a different way if you were trying to spin it. You'd just say,
admittedly, like
right
maybe...
thing.
And I'm not trying to give too much credit here, but maybe this is the, like, translated into English, like,
I couldn't see anywhere in the article that it said it was translated. But
even
he's
if
probably
it's
not
like
a
it's
native
his second
English
language, if he's saying things that maybe, like, he's saying it in a way that maybe it translates better for him rather than, like, how it's coming across for the general
that
public.
I'm
willing to take it with a pinch of salt, but I do think that, like, This isn't the way to talk about a game that was objectively broken and caused so much backlash, rightfully so. I'd be like, it was actually fine. I think you guys are just being dramatic.
Everyone's just,
like,
being drama queens.
Such drama queens. Like, so what? You can't. Sometimes his penis falls out of his trousers. So what? Who
so
cares?
What? That's by design. Okay.
Everyone thinks it's the cool thing to hate on the penis that comes out of the trousers. Yeah. Like, why?
What the hell?
And that's not to say, obviously, I feel like we need to say that isn't to say that people didn't enjoy it at the time. You know, our own James Jenkins wrote a video review about it after playing it, I think, on Xbox, and he had a great time with it. I had friends who bought it and played it and had a great time. Yes, they experienced bugs, but it seemed like everyone's mileage with it varies. Mm-hmm. You know, some people had it way worse than others. However, what he has said is not true. Mm. And that's the issue that we're taking here, because that game was not in a good state at launch. It was the done thing to hate on it because it deserved it, because they spent so long hyping up how amazing it was. And then they knew the state it was in when they tried to sell it to people. And that's not acceptable. You do deserve to get hate for that. That's just, and then don't lie about the fact that it was actually all right. It's in a much better place now. It's a great game. Mm-hmm. It was always a great game, but it shouldn't have been released then.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. So I do hope they've learned from them. I hope this is just either a misspeak or just like something that someone was gonna be like, why did you say that? That's not true.
Yeah.
And I hope that maybe if they get a bit of backlash from this, they might realize that we weren't just taking the piss for the sake of it. It was bad. So hopefully they will learn. And I think this is just one guy's opinion, and the devs, and I think hopefully the higher ups in CD Projekt Red will have actually taken some from what happened, but we won't know until they launch their next game, because right now, obviously, they've got the DLC coming out, but the game is objectively how they wanted it to be from the get-go. Now they keep saying that they're really proud of how it is now, and they've spent the last, what is it, 3-4 years?
Yeah, early 2020 was 2020 December.
They spent a good few years working on it now that it, and it's the point where it's good. So we won't know if they've learned from this until they release their next game. And when they release their next game, oh my God, are they going to have their like hands full with trying to like reassure the consumer about the game and how it's going to come out? They're going to have to work really hard. But don't just start advertising it 2 years before and give people loads and loads of hype in order to combat that.
Almost ready.
That Witcher trailer that they showed like 2 years ago. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They did that? Yeah. It's happening again. It's going to happen again. But whether or not it's actually ready this time, we'll see. Mm-hmm. And, it's time for something a little strange, guys.
A little peculiar, perhaps.
Something weird, I would say.
It's weird news time.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. If you would like to submit some weird gaming news to us, you can do so on Twitter and Facebook by responding to the relevant post that goes out on a...
Tuesday.
However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the show, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at a certain tier, and become a podcast producer. Just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie Garrett or Jared,
Gabrielle Philipping,
Ellie Nicholas,
Nexus Polaris,
Mel D.L. Bonnet,
and Blake Thomas.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Peter, have you got some weird video game news there?
Some weird video game news that was sent in by Samuel Benson on Twitter at MSTR Morning.
Mr. Morning.
Okay. You sounded like a robot.
MSTR.
I was waiting for a word to appear as I read the letters.
Master.
This is according to comicbook.com/gaming/news.
Sick. Well, it's right in it.
Their gaming slash news weird. Section. And it was written by Mark Deschamps. Deschamps.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't read the headline. Sonic the Hedgehog gets in on Grimace birthday shake trend.
Sick.
Have you seen this trend?
Yeah. No.
It's a TikTok trend.
It's
where
very weird.
Because in America, they've got a Grimace shake, which is like a purple milkshake.
Yes, that's what the game was to promote.
And people have been like drinking it, and then like it's basically meant to be like they're being attacked by Grimace. And at one point, they're like, some of them are like covered in like those, they're like tipping it over their head because they're like, it's so good. And then they flip the camera around and someone's dressed up as Grimace.
Okay.
Well, and I saw one where she took a drink. She's like, oh, I'm fine from Grimace. And then the next shot is her and the shake like going down a river like really fast. She's just lying there. And I was like, what is happening?
It's like, it just cuts to like a horrible death is basically what happened.
Oh, pretty much. So if you drink this, you will die and it's Grimace's fault.
Yeah.
Okay. I imagine it says in the article. McDonald's has been celebrating the birthday of Grimace this month. Can I just ask?
Yeah.
Surely Grimace's birthday is every year.
Yeah.
But is it an anniversary?
This seems about like the first time this has happened.
I know how old he is as well.
Yeah.
He's 52.
Right.
That's not even an important birthday.
No, it's not.
Don't get why this is happening, but whatever. Maybe they just knew it would be the kind of thing that would trend on social media.
Yeah, well, they're leaning into the weirdness, aren't they? Because Grimace has taken over the McDonald's handle in America. Yeah. And I think the bio just says, it's me, Grimace.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the vibe they're going for at the moment.
McDonald's has been celebrating the birthday of the Grimace this month, it says. Participating store locations have a special Grimace shake to celebrate. The shake has become the subject of a hilarious meme recently.
Hilarious.
With viral... Is it hilarious?
So funny.
Okay.
With viral videos on social media depicting people suffering horrible deaths after drinking the shake. The official Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account has now gotten in on the joke with a tweet today wishing Grimace a happy birthday alongside an image of Sonic dead on the floor.
I saw this.
With a purple-coloured drink spilled all over the floor. There it is. That's official.
Oh, my God. R.I.P. Yeah, so it's artwork.
Yeah.
Actual art that's been
done.
They
didn't kill actual Sonic.
That's
Don't
good.
Worry.
That would be... I mean, I wish worried. They would sometimes, but it's okay.
The tweet from the official Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account can be found embedded below. And then the article embeds the tweet.
Excellent.
While the Sonic image is a perfect fit for the Grimace shake meme, it's not actually new. It comes from The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog, a visual novel released for free on April Fool's Day this year. The original drink was coloured red. That said, the image is a perfect fit for the meme, and the tweet has gotten a lot of positive attention on Twitter. The official McDonald's Twitter account even replied with Grimace thanking Mr. Hedgehog, with two G's at the end, all lowercase, for the birthday wishes.
The marketing intern that's going to have been in charge of like writing all of these tweets is just going to... It's just gonna be losing.
It's a hell of a portfolio
mind.
They're putting together, isn't it?
I was Grimace for
his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
The Grimace shake meme started on TikTok and has quickly taken over social media, with memes appearing on Instagram and Twitter as well. In the videos, those that drink the Grimace shake suffer a horrible fate. Sometimes the drinker is hit by a car or ends up face down in a creek or just loses their mind. Some of these memes have even played off classic horror movies. There have now been multiple Grimace shake videos that have seen the drinker ending up in a basement, similar to the one from the Blair Witch Project. The whole thing probably isn't what McDonald's had in mind when it started the promotion, but it's made for some really funny videos.
Oh, oh, I love those.
There's more, but that's it, basically.
Is he going to tell you what Grimace is now? Or a milkshake?
I don't think anyone knows what Grimace is. It's hard to explain.
He's craving those McNuggets.
The Grimace.
It mentions the Game Boy Color game, and then at the end it says, have you been enjoying the Grimace shake memes? Which one is your favorite so far?
Let us know in the comments or share your thoughts directly on Twitter. Go watch our video about the Grimace video game that they released this year.
I have some news.
Go on.
From Steven Skodas on Twitter from Nintendo Life. Random! Disgruntled Splatoon 3 fan complains directly to Nintendo's president about male poses. He bought shares just to access Nintendo's annual shareholder meeting. We were talking about this in the office the other day, and it's unhinged.
His mum told him not to.
His mum did tell him not to. Imagine saving up money to buy shares so you could attend a shareholder meeting with the company president and complain about something in a video game. That's exactly what one Splatoon 3 fan has reportedly done. GLHF reports that a Splatoon 3 player saved up enough cash to attend a recent Nintendo shareholder meeting simply to complain about the apparent lack of poses for male Inklings and Octolings in the ink-based team shooter. The attendee reportedly held up the meeting for a while with their complaints, stating that Nintendo has given boys the cold shoulder, accusing the Big N of favouring the female characters. They've previously written to Nintendo about the concerns before, but claimed to have been ignored as things didn't seem to improve.
Huh.
This person needs to go outside.
Yeah.
As the letters had seemingly been ignored, the attendee says they purchased a Switch OLED with a credit card, sold it at a loss for cash, then bought some Nintendo shares in order to qualify to attend the annual shareholder
Why
meeting.
Why did they do that?
So I think he bought the Switch OLED and then was using it, then sold the Switch OLED so he could buy shares.
Right, that makes it that sound like he's bought
that doesn't
a Switch.
Make sense.
He tried to flip
but
it for profit.
I think that but... he, yeah... Because that doesn't really make sense.
He sold his Switch so that he can play.
Yeah. Nintendo president Shuntaro Furukawa apparently tried to stop the person from talking by stating that the question was too long, but they persisted with their argument.
So embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Apparently, when he was finished, Furukawa's response was simply, thank you for your opinion. The fan said that he was filled with dread during the promotional period for Splatoon 3 because all the trailers always showed the girl character. Previously, they argue customization had been more limited for all types of characters, but Splatoon 3, there is clear favoritism towards the girl characters. Furukawa reportedly responded by thanking the fan for playing the game. It's certainly an unusual way to get your point across, and it has drawn a lot of attention from the Splatoon 3 fandom, particularly in Japan. While some agree that there is an imbalance, many others feel that there are more pressing issues that need addressing in the game. Others feel like a shareholder meeting isn't the kind of place for these complaints. Those people are correct.
Yes.
It's worth noting that Splatoon 3 doesn't assign genders to your characters. Similar to Animal Crossing New Horizons, Splatoon 3 enables you to pick a style of Inkling or Octoling, and no clothes or hairstyles are locked to either the masculine or female-presenting style. So yeah, this guy bought like £3,500 worth of, or dollars worth of shares. It doesn't have it in the article.
No Switch is worth that much.
No. The Switch is irrelevant to that story.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They haven't got all the information that I've seen on other places.
In the version that we were talking about, it said his mum told him not to do it.
He knew he was going. He said he was going to, and she said, "Leave well alone."
He basically, I don't know, he tweeted or someone tweeted like from a quote from him where he said that he had to do it even though his mum told him not to.
Yeah.
Because it was so important to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope he's happy. Yeah,
he's not happy. They didn't listen to him, Ben. They didn't listen. Thank you for playing the game.
He got to do what he wanted to do. You know, he got to...
At the cost of $3,000.
And now he can't play on his Switch because he sold it.
He's got no Switch anymore. He can sell his Nintendo shares, potentially, and then maybe buy another one. But it's even if it were a valid criticism, it's not the right way to go about it, is
no.
it?
No. And it's absolutely unhinged.
Everyone's just sort of laughing at you, and that's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit silly.
I've also got some Nintendo weird news.
Do you?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
No, I'm afraid not. This comes courtesy of @cbennett_12 and @ariel_kent on Twitter.
Not random.
Normal. It's from IGN. Zelda. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom player creates working scale that reveals strange truths about Link.
I've seen this.
Mm, yeah.
A Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom player has created a set of working scales using the game's Ultra Hand mechanic, reveals it. Okay, well, that's exactly the same as a headline. Now able to see what objects weigh in comparison to others, Reddit user RecommendationOK6842 posted a video that revealed Link's weight.
That's a catchy name.
It's very good, isn't it? I love it when they include those in these articles and we have to try and read them.
Yeah.
Turns out...
M-S-T-R.
That the Hero of Time only weighs the equivalent of 10 apples.
Okay.
Apples in that game are quite big, though, aren't they?
They're about the size of...
Head size. Fist.
No, they're not head size, are they?
I don't think
10
so.
10 newtons of force, isn't it? Isn't an apple like 1 newton?
Is it?
Yeah. I think
that's what he based it all around. After the vicious assaults that he suffered. That's not all the scale revealed, though, as Tears of the Kingdom has some other strange rules for item weights. A boulder was placed on the scale against one about 3 times its size, for example, but the scale remained balanced.
Oh, a set of working scales, are they? interesting.
Well, what's heavier, a ton of feathers or a ton of bricks? Mm.
A ton of bricks, obviously.
A ton of bricks. Because it's feathers.
Because the feathers are lighter.
While this all seems like fun and games, other players in the comments began seeing the potential of the scale for aviation. This will completely revolutionize aircraft engineering, said one. I love how this might accidentally be useful, said another. What a great concept, though. I never would have thought to do this, but now that I see it done, it's so obvious, they continued. We could legit establish a unit of measurement with this and use it to see how much our builds actually weigh.
Now, I don't want to be a hater. Right, I'm just going to put that out there.
Go on.
But those people, I'm glad they're having fun, but Ashton, they need to go outside.
Don't bully them.
I'm just saying, imagine getting that excited about figuring out that apples are the same weight.
But these are the people who are building like Wonder Machines.
I know that. And I'm sorry that I'm being hated, but
Ashton
my
wants
initial
them to build
instinct
Wonder Machines in real life.
Yeah, like if you're so excited about this, why don't you just do something useful for society? Figure out how much apples I weigh. I'd like that to be.
You could do that, Ashton.
How much apples does Ashton weigh?
Apples does I weigh?
Would you guys like to know what Tears of the Kingdom is, the review score IGN gave it, several links to articles about how
what
to get started in Tears of the Kingdom? An apple is one of many what Ashton weighs, is what it says here. No, that's it. There's just fluff about what Tears of the Kingdom is. Wow. Thank you, everybody, for submitting your weird news.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes. It's time for the big discussion.
Oh.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes to say of, I believe. Hang on, I'm looking at the wrong page. No, I was looking at actual podcast producer Blake Thomas. Thank you, actual podcast producer Blake Thomas. I checked every other page for the podcast producers and it was on this one. So that's good. Bappa Doodles. I see several questions about the Microsoft Activision circus, so I figured I'd flavor up the questions just a bit with a Sony question. Thank you, Blake.
Yeah.
Because there is so much drama still.
So much has happened since those questions were asked.
Yeah. It's every day. We literally cannot keep up.
Well, they are in the middle of a court case.
Yeah,
so
they
that's
are.
Why it was
and
so
they're
much.
Revealing so much juicy goss. But we are going to take a little break about talking about Microsoft Activision Blizzard and all that kind of stuff. We are a ways into Sony's PS Plus overhaul. Is it about a year now?
I think so, around.
Yeah, probably about that. Yeah. And how do you feel about it overall? I personally wish they'd care even a little about bringing in classic titles from the PS1 and PS2 that have been available on the PS3 and Vita in the past. With such a weak, barely growing classic section, do you go for Plus, Extra, or Premium? If they followed suit with a price increase like Microsoft recently announced, how would you feel about that?
Would you like to know what the community thought?
I would flip in. I bet they're really reasonable about it.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly so.
Incredible. Okay.
There was way less people just commenting saying, why don't you ever talk about the thing I want to talk about?
Why don't you shut up?
Yeah. The main vibe I got from reading through the comments was that most people pay for Extra, or we'll say Extra is worthwhile, but general consensus is Premium is not up to snuff.
Extra is the middle. I confuse Extra and Premium all
so
the time.
So Essential is just the 3 games in the month and you can play online. Extra is the kind of back catalogue of PlayStation 4 games and those 3 games every month. Premium is PS3 streaming, PS1, PS2, PSP, the classic library, essentially. Mercury Shadow 5445 says, I paid for Premium to play the games I wanted and then went back to Extra. There was no huge difference in price, but felt like I was paying for nothing. I also thought Extra is pretty decent, the only issue being that I have definitely seen the PS Plus and the games suffer due to this. It feels like Sony definitely wants us to dig deeper into our pockets for Extra because they realise Premium isn't up to snuff. Someone said, I subscribe to Premium. I think it's a pretty good service, honestly. There are sometimes too few classics, and I wish I could download PS3 games instead of streaming them. But otherwise, we have a good list of quality games, good amount of top-tier games, and some indie curiosities, as well as classics from days gone by. And I also found out from That Crazy Nerf that streaming is... You can't do streaming in Australia, so they don't have access to that as part of the...
At all?
No.
On any device?
No, never.
There's
not
no
banned.
Such thing as streaming.
Banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the general consensus is that either they have Essential or they don't pay for it, or Extra is kind of where people will draw the line. People will go up to Premium to play a game and then come back down.
Yeah.
Some people saying that like for the extra, like maybe £100 a year, that they're just paying for Premium because like they might find something on there. But the general consensus is that Premium is just not worth it, which I think is pretty much our opinion as well.
Right. What are we all subscribed at currently?
I'm subscribed at Essential, but MB subscribed at Extra, and we share the Extra games.
So can you actually, because this is, sorry, Peter, where are you currently?
I don't even have Plus at the moment because I don't play multiplayer games online at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm rarely blown away by the 3 free games. So to me, why would I give that money away for something that I'm not actually at the moment going to use? Mm-hmm. If an interesting multiplayer game comes out, I'll go straight back to probably standard or whatever it's called, but
essential.
Yeah,
I paid for the year and Black Friday, so I've got the year.
I also, I'm on essential and I topped up during the days of play, and I didn't realize I did that last year, so I'm on essential until like 2025. Right. So I'm there, and
stocked
I know you can
up.
Pay to upgrade, but I did the same thing as Peter like a few years ago now. I think before when would it have been? It might have been either. It wouldn't have been the first year of Triple Jump. It probably would have been when we were at Vidiot. I didn't have Plus for most of that year, I think, just because I wasn't playing. None of us had a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because Bristol's expensive. And I just wasn't playing online. And so it just didn't seem worthwhile. I have a question for you, though, because I share my account with a friend, my Ben. Which is legally different from your Ben. It was very exciting when the two Bens managed to meet.
There's three Bens in one room. It was crazy.
The my Bens both met at the same time.
Yeah.
But my Ben, who I share my account with, he has, I think he's got extra. And I haven't even tried to download or access those games. So does that work?
Yeah,
or does
so it works the same way as console sharing. Okay. So my PlayStation is his main PlayStation. And I will download... I would go on his account, download the games I want to play, and then because console sharing is enabled, I can play those on my account if they're on the PlayStation that I'm playing on.
Right.
So I've downloaded Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection and Dishonored 2 on his extra account, but I'm playing them on my account because it's the PlayStation that I downloaded.
Well, that's great to know, because I'd hope that would be the case, but I've not even bothered going to look, because I assumed there'd be some sort of PS Plus check, seeing as that's a subscription rather than a purchase game. But it's nice to know that you can...
Because that's why we were like, well, I don't mind paying for extra, because there's games that we can go back and like dip into, you know, like Ratchet and Clank's are on there, and like a couple of like PlayStation 4 games are on there. So it feels worth it for us, especially kind of in what I would deem as finally a kind of quiet month in terms of game releases. There's lots of games on there that I've been wanting to play or have been on my radar, but I've just never had the opportunity. And I do think that the extra collection of games is actually pretty damn good in terms of like what they've got to offer. And I think in some ways, is more appealing to me than the Xbox Game Pass collection of older games. I think Game Pass is really good for new games that are coming out. Whereas I do feel like Sony have put a lot of good games on extra. I do think the premium is a waste of money. Not just because I don't have the nostalgia for these games, so I'm not really inclined to go back and play them, but also because, one, I think the UI to actually find some of these games is really confusing. I feel like when you go on extra, you have to like search for ages to like just see what there's on there, because there's no like kind of big list that's easy to tap.
I had that exact
through.
Problem with you PlayStation
can't filter by console.
Now,
can no,
you?
No. Which is, yeah, it's very similar to PlayStation.
PlayStation
Now.
Now's UI was horrible because they had so few games on there for the longest time that they would just display them in a big like rotating wheel, and then you couldn't search for specific games, you couldn't really organize properly, and then they'd organize it by letters of the alphabet, and it was just it was a rubbish UI that was clearly designed to hide how few titles
I think it's better than that.
Okay, that's good,
because there's different like folders that things are put into. So there's like a classics folder, and then in extra there's kind of like a few like of like hot at the moment things, or like newly added, and then there's like I don't think there's like a recommended section, but there's kind of like a suggested game section. I do find that like going through those folders I am finding stuff, but I don't know how to just see the entire list of games and like see what's on there. So that is my main issue with extra and premium, is I just think that the UI is total wank. It's just too confusing, and I don't know if it is to hide how few titles are on there, especially with premium, but I do feel like it's difficult to actually see where things are on there. I'm pay for extra.
What would it take for you to upgrade to extra, Peter?
Well, I was about to say, actually, ironically, as the one person who at the moment doesn't have Plus at all, I could even see myself going for premium if they like really like lent into the classics, you know, the PS1, PS2 classics. If they had, when they announced this, just put a whole list of great games from back in the day on there, I probably would have gone straight in and paid for it and played a load of them. So, I mean, potentially I could even go for premium if they did that. But to go to extra, I don't know. I think it's as much a me problem as much as anything else. I don't think necessarily it's not good value for money. I think it seems like decent enough value. I don't think the three-monthly games are like tend to generally blow my socks off. Yeah. But, you know, just as an online service and some decent PS4 games, I think it's good value. It's just really a case of I'm not playing multiplayer games right now, so I don't need to pay for that functionality. And I guess until, as you say, Ashton, until just sort of recently, I've felt quite busy with other releases, and now it is a bit of a kind of a more of a quiet month, or it has been. So really it would have to be, because I used to play almost exclusively multiplayer stuff for a period of time where I was just playing Battlefront all the time. I played Crash Team Racing. You know, they've just brought out that new Crash multiplayer game. I don't fancy it. Thanks very much. But
do you want to play Crash Rumble, which costs £25, by the way?
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was
free to play.
Oh. Okay.
And then I was like, I think so. And then we checked last night, and it was £25, and I was like, whoa. Oh man,
I thought it was a full priced game.
Apparently,
it shouldn't be.
I saw I can't remember if it was a headline or just someone tweeting about it yesterday, where they said it's dead on arrival. The quote, because it had
no one's playing.
It had 30 viewers on Twitch.
We were talking about this exact thing last night because MB was like, "Has it come out?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's been out for like a week."
Yeah.
And then he said it's got 30 viewers on Twitch because it's boring.
Oh dear.
It's boring.
Apparently it's fun to play, but people just aren't giving it a try. But anyway, yeah, to answer your question, for me it would as much be a thing about my own kind of habits and what I want out of my PS5, because I do think the value seems all right for extra.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
I mean, I think Chi is on extra.
Yeah.
So there are day one releases, but it's nowhere near on the same level as Xbox is. Mm-hmm. And they're normally like kind of like they're indie titles that aren't PlayStation exclusive. Well, they are PlayStation exclusives, but they're not like PlayStation Studios.
Yeah.
Like Stray was on there day one, and Chio as well. They're kind of like the smaller, the double A's are kind of plonked on there as like day one releases.
Things that people are excited for, but you know, they're not. They're not going to make a ton of money for PlayStation specifically.
Could they do anything for either of you two to go as far as premium?
I wouldn't bother paying for premium.
Never. No, I'd never pay for premium just because, I mean, I've literally during the course of this conversation just realized that I could have accessed PlayStation Plus Extra this entire past year and I've not once been tempted to upgrade or even give it a go. And that's not to say that the games that are on there aren't any good. It's just that until they're, I think I said before that they do this really good thing that if you're buying something that's on Extra, it'll tell you how much you need to pay to upgrade for just the month in order to play it. And I think that's a great tactic to get people to upgrade. Mm. So if there's a game that I was looking to buy and it was on Extra and it would only cost me a few quid to upgrade for the month as opposed to paying, you know, like 20, 30 pounds to play the game, then that's a no-brainer. I would do that for the month and then I'd probably drop back down again. In terms of keeping me there, though, I don't know. Like, I'm a big PS3 fan and I feel absolutely no desire to stream PS3 games.
Yeah,
until they work out how to get those actually running, I'm not really interested in revisiting, you know, because a lot of those games have not been ported, which defies logic because there was a real, you know, period during the early PS4 life cycle where a lot of games were being ported to you know, conventional hardware, and the same on the Xbox side as well, to get those games off there. And there are still so many exclusives that are languishing on PS3, and currently the only way to experience some of them is through streaming them, and that's just not a way I want to consume those games.
It's
that's
so
not
weird.
Way I want to play them.
It's such a weird decision that they've made that those PlayStation 3 games are only streamable. I know obviously there's reasons because the PlayStation 3's hardware was just crazy. But it just seems very strange that if a game can be streamed, why can a game not be downloaded?
It's running somewhere.
Played.
Yeah. It's running somewhere, and I assume it's running off PS3's somewhere. And
they've got a ginormous
something.
PS3 farm.
It's just a huge, just one big PS3.
Yeah.
Like a
giant Saddam Hussein's PS3 farm. Oh, that was PS2's, wasn't it?
But. Was it? Some terrorists had PS3's. That was, oh no, the Air Force was working with PS3's, I think.
Oh yeah.
The US Air Force were losing it
but
as
no,
a supercomputer.
He was using PS2's, I think.
To build a WMD.
Mm.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So to get me to upgrade, I'd either need really comprehensive PS3 back catalog that is easily accessible and I don't have to stream them. I would want games that I am in the moment looking to play that are cheaper to play by subscribing than buying, or if they put something on their day one that I'm actually really interested in.
Yeah.
Those are my stipulations. I don't see that happening necessarily. And I'm glad to hear that a lot of people are enjoying Extra. It seems like most people I talk to who don't have Essential have Extra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone with Premium, and anyone who has had Premium doesn't have good things to say about it.
No, it's just at the moment it's not worth it at all.
I do agree with the statement that like it does feel a little bit like PlayStation are going, well, the best one is Extra. And if you're paying Essential, a couple of crap games every month, but you're not getting a good deal. Why don't you just pay extra money? And just because they got rid of the PlayStation Plus collection, which was available to Essential people as well.
Yeah.
And they've just kind of smashed those into extra. So it does feel a little bit like if you're not paying for extra, you're kind of not getting much out of PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they just, I don't know how they can charge so much for the premium collection and just have so little on there that people actually want to play. There's so many PlayStation exclusives that are just not on there, which is just so baffling to
surely it's a matter of time before premium and extra are combined.
Yeah.
But that will probably come with a price increase, realistically. Because otherwise, even if they hold their hands up and say, yeah, premium didn't work, so we're going to put it all into extra, anyone who is subscribed at a premium level will probably be a bit miffed that they are... I don't know, actually, that doesn't... I'm trying to logically... make it make sense in my head, but
I think they would
if they smashed it into extra and then said, okay, it's all the same price as extra now. Premium subscribers might be like, well, what the hell, why was I paying all that money?
Well, but also
they'd be glad to be paying less. So I don't know what they would.
They'd be glad to be paying less, but Sony would be able to say, by virtue of us adding premium into extra, we've added value to extra.
Yeah.
So they would put an extra couple of dollars on it probably.
Yeah, probably.
Per month.
Yeah, it's I don't know, I'm not sure. The classics though don't interest me personally. I'm not even aware of what the classics lineup is now, but I know people are annoyed at how drip fed it is.
It's so weird, like when they do like their what's coming to PlayStation Plus next month, they have like a list of like all the games that are coming to extra and then premium, and like 8 out of 10 times it's like this big long list, maybe like 15 games coming to extra and then like 3 PS1 titles that are being like added
for PS1.
Yeah, exactly. It does feel a lot like that is... it just feels empty and weird that they've got this thing that's the most expensive.
It's just weird that there's like maybe 2 or 3 like genuinely huge, like genuine classics from that time. Like Toy Story 2 was on there. I don't know if it still is, but like that kind of came out of nowhere. That's one of the most beloved PS1 games of the era. And it's like, hey, Toy Story 2. And then also, yeah, Bass Fishing and I don't know, some strange driving game that you've never heard of.
Or more love was given to the classics on PS3 than it seems to have been so far here. There were so many that I can't even remember how many, but they varied region to region. But, you know, you could buy them and play them on PS3 and Vita and PSP and stuff like that. Yeah. And they were great. They didn't have trophies and they weren't enhanced in any way, but there was just a huge selection. And there were some crap ones on there, like weird fishing games. It's like, why is that being included? Yeah. But, you know, they were there and I don't know. It's just, I think we all hoped when this was announced that this would be a comprehensive, like, okay, we don't have backwards compatibility, but here's a way you can get all these games. Yeah. And it's not that. No. It's still not that.
There were people also lamenting that there was no trophies on classics. That was kind of a...
Oh, really? I thought there were. I thought that was the point.
I think not all of them.
Oh, God.
Or at least, I don't think you, if you're streaming, you can't have trophies, I think. But the people were... Right. Some people were saying, like, if they sort all the trophies out, I'd be more inclined to hunt them down. So...
Maybe. Well, it's a weird old thing at the moment. But let us know what you think about PlayStation Plus's current state and where you're subscribed at and what it would take for you to up your subscription if you're not at premium or even not at extra. Peter, are you able to tell people where they can find us on the internet?
I am. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump for all of our videos and live streams, mostly streaming on Twitch, occasional now and then streams on YouTube, but not very often. When we're streaming on Twitch and YouTube, we're modded by Lob Rotovic, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you're already paying, you might not know this, for a Twitch sub, but you're not using it.
Sorry.
Ashton's cross about it.
Yeah. That's just me coughing, saying, give us your Twitch sub.
Give us your Twitch sub.
Give us your Bezos bucks.
Yeah, so Amazon Prime, you can get a Twitch sub with that. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump for video and live stream announcements, legacy video content, bits of weird news, Twitch stream highlights of the week. Loads of things there by Fraser and us. And on TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump, there's things on there by Ashton. Have you done a TikTok recently?
Can't remember when I did that. I've showed you the last one I did or not.
Okay. And patreon.com/teamtriplejump for all of our Patreon tiers with various different rewards. You can go and have a look at them all and see if any of them take your fancy.
We have a website, shibblejump, spells jump. It's very clever. Yeah. If you'd like to join our Discord, shibblejump.mup/Discord, chat with our wonderful community. Over there, modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, bloody well do it, all right? If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, want to go to triplejet.mup/podcast and catch up on any of our live stream VODs, triplejet.mup/VODs. To book any of us three or James Jenkins on Cameo, triplejet.mup/Cameo. And to buy some sick and cool merch like these t-shirts, why not go to triplejumpshop.com and make sure you're following @triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Twitter and Instagram @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton and myself just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On Twitch, because they're all on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everybody else. Weirdest Games Ever is monthly, a week early for patrons. After Dark podcast is fortnightly on Monday for patrons. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time. Come and check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and it will take you just a moment, and it costs you no money at all, and we'd really appreciate it. A few things to go over this week, Ashton.
Yes.
First up.
Yeah, the July gaming forecast is out now. It should come out last night. Please watch it. That'd be great. I've narrowed down everything that's coming out this month. There is still a bunch of stuff coming out. No ginormous releases, though. Just some little ones out there. Mm. All of the ones that were supposed to come out in July, well, they got pushed back to the next month. So next month's going to be extra busy by the looks of things. So find out what's coming out this month. And then if you don't like any of them, just play whatever you've got on the backlog.
Play whatever you want on the backlog.
Yeah.
On PlayStation Plus Extra
or whatever.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Elstree Screen Arts Academy for asking us to go and chat with some of the students there. Kat, our senior staff writer, did that and she did a wonderful job and the students were apparently very interested and asked lots of questions. So thank you for asking us to be a part of that.
I
would also like to thank the people who applied for the freelance writer position. You're all fantastic. It was the toughest field of applicants I've ever had to go through. We've got back to everybody now and we've got some fantastic new writers hopefully starting with us soon. So thank you to everybody for taking the time to do that. I know a lot of you were maybe writing for the first time and I'd just like to applaud you for throwing your hat in the ring because there was a baseline level of there was a baseline level of quality there which I think speaks to all of you, so thank you for taking the time to do that even if you weren't successful. Finally, I'd just like to plug something we totally forgot to plug last week, which is the 101 most iconic video game villains of all time list. It's huge. It's 2.5 hours long. It's another massive list. Go and see where your favorite ranked is. Your favorite on there. Get cross. Leave a comment. Please, the algorithm. Just go watch that video,
but
please.
They're not actually ranked there, Ben.
No.
Did I say ranked?
Yeah.
I didn't mean ranked.
See if they made it into the 101.
Yes. It's not a ranking. The one at 101 is just as dastardly as the one at number one. It's just 101 of the most iconic. But anyway, it's a big list. Mm. And you love those. You know you love those. Go get baked and watch it. Just go get high and eat ice cream and just stick it on in the background. Have a great time.
Gee whiz.
Have a lovely Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go now. Thank you so much for watching. There's just enough time for Peter to talk about this week's sponsor again.
I'd really rather not. I'm still sort of feeling quite awkward about it. Pikmin 4 is coming soon, apparently.
Yeah, not Pac-Man.
Not the weird 4.
Stop it.
How humiliating. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.